CliffCentral.com. No more bullshit. That's right. That's what we do every day. Da, 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 da. Ah, yes. Hello, everybody. What's happening? Hey, I updated my phone to iOS 14 yesterday. I don't know if it's made any difference at all, but asked me a bunch of security questions. I felt like I was at the border. Like, prove this is you. Put in all your passwords again and give us your fingerprints and face ID. And Jesus, I mean, it's like getting into my own phone was more of a mission than getting a new visa. It's quite something.
Any great new feature?
No.
That's worth it?
No. Look, I mean, they make incremental improvements here and there. Someone actually sent me a message. One of our listeners sent me a message yesterday during the show to say, look, stop complaining about Apple. The products are great. Why change something that's working? You know? So I kind of felt, yeah, all right. And by the way, if you're one of those people who's having trouble with our app at the moment, we are very much aware of these problems. And we have to do an update. But you know what the problem is?
What's happening?
Let me tell you what's happening, ass. How are you, ass?
All good. I'm still laughing because, so to explain to people, when a song is playing, Sia and I can't hear it. So all we hear is Gareth going,
no more bullshit.
Oh, bullshit.
Great. Yeah, exactly.
Bullshit.
You love it, don't you?
You know what I've done, Leanne? I've started making it a little game of guess what song is currently playing based on Gareth's mumbling. So he's going,
It's not mumbling. This is very fine singing that you're privy to.
Okay, so that, what song is this? Together. What song is that?
Are you being serious?
Yes. No.
I was actually trying to work out if that was a song. It could have been. You know what? It could have been. We all stand together.
Boom. Boom.
Gareth, I wish there was a way we could record it on our side so that you could hear. Honestly, for this morning particularly, I think I only realized 40 seconds in what song was actually playing.
Okay. You know,
everybody.
Sometimes that's all you need. What a game to play. So
it
anyway,
is lovely. What is happening? Yes.
Yes, let me tell you about our app, because our app is now 5 years old. We did an app launch with the guys from Core, and you know, Toby Shapshack was there, and we actually won best app and blah blah blah. But this is now 5 years old and we haven't done any major overhaul of the thing. The problem is when you have an app, and anybody who has one knows this, you have to keep on upgrading and updating the thing. Every time it costs a fortune.
Oh, really?
I mean, they literally have you by the soft and curlies. I could pay four salaries for the amount that they want to charge us to do this app.
I know.
Yeah, so every single time, and it happens whenever there's an update of, you know, any Android platform or Apple, then you have to do an update. And you know, we're not rolling in money, and I wish I could say we were, and I think we will be one day. I fucking hope so. but at the moment, it's just every time this happens, so I get a complaint from somebody, and then I go, oh, shit, this again. And then we put it there, and we have a meeting, and we talk about what we can do, and we speak to the developers, and, you know, it's just, it's a bottomless pit of money.
So, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm trying to sort it out, but I promise you we're aware of the issues around the app. And you know, I was ready to scrap it completely, but that's the only way that people can listen live.
Yeah.
So we can't. Now we're in. We have to keep doing this. It's like a ransom.
When is the next update?
This is it. We've got to now find some money and do. I mean, after lockdown and everything else, now we have to find money to do this update. So I'm not asking for sympathy. We'll sort this out. It's part of the business. I've got to make sure that it works. So we'll do what we got to do, but just be patient with us while we sort that out.
Well, back to the Apple update and whether it's worth it or not. Mm. My friend just got excited over one specific feature, and I think, Leanne, you might like this as well.
Mm-hmm.
Supposedly now a phone call can come in, and you know when you're deliberately ignoring someone? Yeah. You would have to just like pause and wait for that 15 seconds while the phone stops ringing.
Yeah.
Now it just takes up a strip at the top of your screen. So you can carry on doing exactly what you're doing.
Oh, good, because it doesn't block the whole screen.
Yeah, and just ignore like someone that. Like that.
No, that's useful.
Another person who, I don't know why, I still find it odd, but they say that's what's getting them excited right now.
Listen.
I like that.
In the lead up to the American elections, there's a lot of very dodgy shit happening with platforms like Facebook and YouTube and all the rest. They are demonetizing and delisting lots and lots of people. Just yesterday, I got a call from Germ, who's been a guest on the show a couple of times. YouTube, they canceled his stream out of nowhere with no warning. And he didn't do anything. Like, you can go and check, because I did. There wasn't anything that he'd done that was in particular, egregious and unacceptable to them. They just did it without any warning. And I'm telling you, this is going to happen a lot leading up to the elections, because whether people openly admit it or not, Silicon Valley and the mainstream media, and this is not a conspiracy theory, you only have to go online to see it for yourself, are so in the Democrat camp. They are so much out there to bat for Biden. They're not even trying to be objective anymore. I posted a parody clip. It was a parody of The View with Joe Biden muttering and mumbling to Joy Behar. And look, she gave him the softest interview you've ever seen in your life. And if you compare that to the setup that Donald Trump had on ABC with George Stephanopoulos, if you care about these things, there is a perfect illustration of just how in the bag the media and Silicon Valley are for Joe Biden. It's just distasteful in the extreme. It proves to you that the media, and there are media houses that openly say, look, we back this side. There's MSNBC, there's CNN, there's Fox News on the other side. But it's the ones who pretend to be objective news channels. And really, CNN pretend that they're that kind of thing, even though they're absolutely not. It bothers me that Germ, he didn't do anything more controversial than anything he's done before. I think he interviewed the Kiffness or something. And they just canned his channel. Now, to me, that is very, very suspicious behavior. And we've all got to watch out, because this is going to be happening a lot in the next 2 months as the U.S. election gets really, really hot. And then watch, November the 3rd, it'll all be over and people will take a big, deep breath. I mean, it's not going to stop in America. That insanity is going to carry on. But this is inevitable. So just gird your loins. I see lots of people saying we need new platforms. And then you build a new platform like we did, and it just it needs constant app updates. We'll be working on this. Just be aware of the fact that there is no fire that has gone out in my soul. I am ready to fight to the nth degree against the stupidity that we
see. Absolutely.
And
oh, Leanne.
I can't stop myself.
Here I'm trying so hard to be to be serious and professional, and Leanne is just making fun of everything I say.
This is me, serious and professional.
I just couldn't help but roll my eyes the other day when I saw two articles in particular about Kamala Harris that I just thought, what is going on? Like, I now just feel like they're just trying to appeal and be so cool. I think that the first one was around how Kamala Harris is making Timberlands cool again. And it's like, what does that have to do with anything? What does that have to do with the policies or how they're affecting change or impacting change?
Yeah.
And then the other was on 9/11, former VP Joe Biden was on his way flying somewhere, mm-hmm. and there was some media gathered outside his plane, and then he says, you know, I'm not going to answer any questions. This is not a day for news stories. This is a day for us to remember, you know, this tragic loss that this country survived. But then somehow someone chirped in about President Trump and then said, yeah, yeah, well, Trump is horrible. Trump is this. Trump is that.
You know, he got off
the plane. But he wasn't going to answer anything else.
No, he got off that plane and he waved to an empty field. He waved to a crowd that yes, it's like you, if you see this stuff online, and then so I posted that thing of The View with Joy Behar, and my point about bringing up that story, it's just a funny clip of Joe Biden. Look, it was very awkward, even if it wasn't edited the way that I found it, because it shows you how he just can't deliver a sentence that makes sense. His sentences roll on into each other. There's no point to the way he talks. You could see the guy's he's struggling. Anyway,
oh boy.
So I posted
on there's no hope.
I posted on Facebook, but I clearly say this is a parody, and it gets flagged as like potential fake news. And I'm like, but this is a parody, guys. I'm not presenting it as news.
Yeah.
So weird.
What if it's just like a reflex for him? Like a muscle reflex as soon as you step out of a plane, start waving.
I don't know. it's all just such a mess. And I don't want to get into American politics on a Friday morning. It's something to look out for. So, can I try and be inspirational this morning?
Before we get into
news and all of that stuff. So I wrote a little thing yesterday, which seems to be getting quite a lot of attention, and I want to read it now as is. I put it on Facebook, but I might just publish it as a blog on cliffcentral.com. But I thought, you know what, let me test it with you guys and we'll see if you like it. So by no means meant to be some kind of guide to life. It's nothing that I put a huge amount of thought into. I was just lying in bed and thought, there are probably people somewhere, somehow, who need this. And I wrote it down. So here it is without any further introduction. If you're going through hell at the moment, and lots of people are, right? If your life isn't anything like what you always hoped it would be, if people are disappointing you or hurting you, if you're hopeless, disconnected, lonely, if you've fallen out of love with music, art, dance, and even love, if you aren't turned on by the things that used to turn you on, if you find conversation and philosophy pointless and uninspiring, if you've given up on treating your body like a temple and treat it like a garbage heap, if you don't appreciate what others can do for you, if you've forgotten what explosive, unbounded happiness feels like, if you feel like you never have enough, and if you don't sleep because your nightmares are worse than being awake, and you look around and see a world that's broken, then please consider that you're not alone, that you're alive, and that all the universe, fate, and the most impossible series of events over billions of years conspired to bring you into existence here and now. That there are many worse off than you, and not just materially. That this too shall pass, however dark your personal hell might be right now. Whether you're religious or not, there's more to existence than the things our five rudimentary evolved senses can make sense of. And even the greatest objective minds have never denied this. If your life is a disappointment, that it might be your fault. And that if that's true, that you can change it. The alternative is much more horrible to comprehend. So hope it's your fault. That you cannot be responsible for the feelings of others, and that if you've done nothing to hurt them, you shouldn't feel guilty about them. That if they have hurt you, you can release the burden on both of you by moving on, even if you can't find it in yourself to forgive them. But if you don't forgive them, the burden remains only yours. That you can make new friends, meet new people, learn new things at any age, and that just one of those people or things will make the difference. Treat every person as if they have something to tell you that might change your life, and watch how they respond and rise to that expectation without exception. That you don't need permission to be joyful, and that while euphoria and misery are the poles between which we ebb and flow, you can take exquisite pleasure in a song or a sunset without anyone else on earth ever knowing about it. Learning to love seemingly trivial things can teach you how to enjoy the great ones. Meaning doesn't come from fulfilling your goals or from triumph or comfort. It comes from taking on responsibility, first for yourself, then for those close to you, and finally for greater humanity. You'll continue to feel empty until you realize that things are reliant on you to operate properly, and that you can create and maintain those things. Don't lie in bed. Get up and trim the grass, tidy your house up, organize your world. Wallow and the meaninglessness will eat you from the inside out, and you will deserve it. Earn a better relationship with your body. Nobody can stop you from eating a donut or lying around all day, but it will stop your heart eventually. The meat vehicle that you inhabit can serve you, or you can let it represent your carelessness for all to see. You get to make this call, and it's never too late. Finally, countless generations have sacrificed their lives to create the civilization around you that makes learning, sustenance, law, engineering, construction, time, science, language, religion, and culture so easy to access. Pay attention to the things you say about humanity, society, culture, and institutions that you didn't build, but that you're lucky enough to inherit. If you're ungrateful for them, you might not deserve them. It is better to be alive now than at any time before on planet Earth, and there is nothing that you cannot know that some other primate can. All the information that mankind has amassed is available to you right now. So get off of social media and find out whatever you want.
Oh my God! I'm so... Okay.
That's good.
Yeah, wait. I'm shook.
Are you shook?
So, yeah.
Very millennial of you.
No, I really am. Because, okay, as I'm wiping some rogue tears that developed.
Oh, Leanne.
Yeah, seriously. Gareth, that's like the most beautiful thing that you've ever written.
Well, then I've written very many beautiful things, but thanks. No, thank you.
No, it's amazing. You know, for me, and you and I have been on a very long journey together, that this is the height of your emotional maturity.
I just
and your empathy. It's like you still snuck in a bit of criticism, but it was well meant and well taken.
Well, thank you. I mean, wow. Listen, you know, I'm trying really hard to just be a little more present and conscious, and I know that sounds all woo-woo, but I wrote this last night. I don't know why. There might be someone, and I've already received messages from a bunch of people who've said I needed to hear that for whatever reason.
Absolutely.
So even if it was one person, it would be worth it. But it also comes from, you know, when you've got extra to give, then the only thing that you can do is pass it on. Like, there's nothing worse than holding on to that, trying to store it up for yourself. So if you're happy and if you're in a good place, and this goes for any of us, it doesn't just go for me writing that, and that was hardly an effort. You know, you could do more, perhaps, if you're a person who does actual work with other people and people who need it especially. Then get out there and do it, because if your cup overfloweth, then, you know, pass on some of it to everyone else.
Yeah.
Sure.
So it was
very moved.
Yeah, it was just something I thought that I'll put on the show, because it would be weird if I shared it on social media without doing it here first. So there we go.
That's good.
All right, back to the world that we inhabit.
I love how you just move on from that. I'll give you a little bit of vulnerability, but then that's all.
I spoke to a dude. I posted this picture on Instagram a while ago about a book that I was reading by a great historian who I'm a massive fan of, called Simon Sebag Montefiore.
Just your everyday name.
Very everyday name. And he is probably one of the world's foremost living historians. Such a smart guy. And anyway, I posted this picture and then he liked it because I tagged him. So I thought, okay, well, I've got an intro now. I've got to get him on the TV show. So, Sia, you will be receiving an email soon from him, and we must get him on the TV show.
Perfecto.
Yeah, we're working hard on getting interesting guests. And if you know of anyone, or if you think of anyone who you really would love to hear from, then I say this every week on a TV show, but I'm going to say it here because maybe the audience here is smarter.
Can I watch?
Send us your ideas. Yes, Ash.
Can I watch the shows that I've missed on Ketchup?
Ketchup. You can get them all on CliffCentral.com. There's a link to every one of the shows. So
lovely.
Just go to the main page and you'll find them all there.
Lovely.
Yeah. I do get people asking me over and over again. And for some reason, I don't know what ENCA is doing, but they don't want us to have it on YouTube. And that's so weird because every show in the universe is on YouTube except clearly ours. So I'm gonna keep that fight going. But in the meantime, we've got a link to every single one on cliffcentral.com. So go and take a look at that.
Lovely.
All right. Someone says here, Gareth, please share that poem. It was not a poem, I promise you, Cabello. That was just something that spilled out of my brain last night, and I thought there might be someone who needs it. That was nicely put, Gareth. Fucking beautiful. Thanks. That's great.
That was fucking beautiful.
That's from Jumini. Says fucking beautiful. I do like a bit of that kind of feedback. Thank you, Jen. She says, that's cool. I needed to hear that. Okay, Ash, you got to tell us what happened here. What happened with the Fairview racehorses? I was getting updates yesterday from people who were absolutely incensed and telling me how tragic and barbaric this whole situation is. This is what I know, and you can correct me. Apparently, a bunch of people who work at the Fairview race course were asking for more money, or one of them had been fired or something. There was some unhappiness there, and they started to take it out on the horses.
Yeah, you know what? It's still very sketchy. And I was hoping somebody who's listening might have more details. However, there's a lot of fake news going around, and people have been warned against it on social media. There's something about, firstly, if I may say, there's something about seeing a dead horse. We don't see it very often. We see horses when they are alive and vigorous and standing up and full of life. And there's something about seeing a horse that's been slain and lying on its side. So it obviously evokes a lot of emotion in this situation. I just think it's the epitome of the poor taking on the rich. These horses that are race horses, they're not work horses. You know, they're horses that have been highly bred. There's a lot of money and history involved in all of this, and perhaps excess. In the beginning, I tried to liken it to someone who was burning down a school, perhaps. And even though that seems completely senseless, and you ask yourself what can come of that, the same thing, I tried to treat it as you know, mundanely as that. But it obviously evokes a lot of emotion. There were apparently horses that were let out loose, which you can't just do to a horse. I mean, it's like letting out a dog. They're not going to survive on their own. But all the animals are back in their stables. Those with injuries are being treated by vets. There were horses who died or are still not in a great condition. So I'm not entirely sure what happened, and I think more will come to light as we go along. But I think what's important here is that a lot of people are spreading, as I said, fake news on social media. And because emotions are heightened, there's a lot of stuff going on social media. And what's happened now is that the police have said they may prosecute social media users for false posts.
But we heard this as well with the future Gigaba video.
Sia, I'm sorry, that broke up so badly that I didn't hear a damn thing you said. Sorry.
Sounded like you were very...
No. Look.
I thought, wow, what silence.
I don't have a lot to say about this, But based on what Leanne has just told us, and obviously the whole story is still developing, and what I find absolutely appalling is that even if there is a huge gap between rich and poor, as Leanne says, even if this is the rich versus the poor, then I'm afraid the poor are losing, not just in terms of money. But when you start doing this, and horses have been abused by humans for thousands of years. I mean, they're also the animal that, forget about dogs, horses have helped us to craft civilization.
Mm-hmm.
You know, without the horse, there was no way for people to get from A to B, and there was no way for us to win battles and lose battles and conquer nations and change history. So the horse is tied to man in a way that almost no other animal has been. And it upsets me no end, not just because of the brutality and barbarism of what is supposed to have happened here, which is inexcusable. No matter how miserable your own life, no matter how awful and broken and degenerate a human being you are, when you do that to animals, you take yourself lower and lower. And there's just no redemption for people who are prepared to do this. Not because I care more about animals than people, because that's always the limp-wristed excuse that you hear from people who are trying to position it as an either-or. These things are not mutually exclusive. You can be a good person and be poor. You can be a good person and be going through extraordinary trauma. You can also be a bad person and be rich. It's got nothing to do with material. There is something rotten in your soul. If you torture animals, you're probably the kind of creature, and this has been proven time and time again by countless studies of serial killers and social misfits of every kind, that if you hurt animals, you probably hurt people. And if you haven't started hurting people yet, but you hurt animals, you will end up doing that. These are not people who deserve even an opportunity to explain their point of view. If you behave like, and worse, if you were the groom, for example, of a horse like this for 20 years.
I mean,
you know, if you've been looking after animals for 20 years, you've been brushing them and feeding them and caring for them, and you've seen how much love and trouble goes into their maintenance, that the pain is that much greater, that you would do this to a creature which you've shown love for. These are the sort of people who hack up their babies. These are the sort of people who rape children. These are the sort of people who do unspeakable things which we thought we'd left in the infancy of our species, that we thought that we'd relegated to a time where human beings had excuses for barbarism because we were basic and primitive and savage.
Yeah, back when we put heads onto poles, impaling heads on poles.
So when this happens, it's not just a clutch your pearls reaction of, you know, sophisticated people to the ugliness of the peasants. That's not what it is. This is a much deeper problem, and it's not the problem of the rich, and it's not the fault of the rich. And be very careful who you assign blame to here, because if you deny the people who do this kind of thing agency, you are actually the person who's suffering from the superiority complex. It's not those who will say, look, they did this, they're monsters, it's their fault. Those people are at very least treating the perpetrators of actions like this as equals. If you make excuses for them, you're putting yourself in a position of superiority, moral, ethical, and in any other way that you choose. So it's just not on in any which way. There is no excuse for this behavior. Those people must be clapped in irons. They're a danger to society. If someone did this to human beings, we would lock them up for the rest of their lives. We should at very least do the same if they start showing signs of this sort of barbarism against animals. And I feel very sorry for the horses, but I'm sure their suffering is at an end. You know, people would have been arriving with shotguns to put them out of their misery. We can't do that with people. And I have no doubt that some of the people who did this to the horses have been treated similarly by other people. And that's why they behave this way. And mm-hmm. if only we could put them out of their misery with shotguns, but we can't.
Yeah.
That's all. Let's get into some headlines.
Yeah.
Jesus, what an upsetting way to start a Friday. I was really
very folk, man.
I was very keen to get into something happy here. Anyway, Eskom warns it might implement load shedding at short notice. There's some great news. They say the national grid is currently constrained, but marawai, Eskom, because yeah. people are using less power. Our heaters and electric blankets and kettles are boiling less, and you know we're using less electricity. It's warming up. There's no reason.
Lights are off.
Wait until it rains. Then the wet, cold excuse might come up again. Yeah.
Well, they haven't got that one yet, but wait for it. That's absolutely right. So anyway, the utility said two generation units have been forced to shut down, adding to those on maintenance and currently on the breakdown. Eskom is appealing to us to use electricity sparingly, and despite the constraints, it said rotation power cuts are not on the cards for Thursday and Friday. But let's see. All right, so there's something to think about.
It's okay, we're prepared.
We're prepared, we'll be fine. We're ready. NUMSA. Geniuses at NUMSA. And SACA, whatever that is, the South African Cabin Crew Association, I think.
Is SACA.
They're going to picket outside South African Airways offices on Friday over the funding of a new airline. So... guys, I don't know who you think is going to be paying you here. I don't know where you think the money is coming from. You clearly have never had a class in basic mathematics. Maybe adding numbers and subtracting numbers isn't your strength, but 8 billion or whatever it is minus 8 billion gives you zero. So I don't know what you're hoping for. The National Union of Metal Workers and the South African Cabin Crew Association say they'll be picketing. In a statement, they said it was a disgrace that the business rescue process is still ongoing, adding that this places the cash-strapped carrier in danger of liquidation. You don't say.
Mm.
Friday's picket will coincide with a meeting called by the SOE's administrators. The gathering is aimed at discussing the funding issue and the proposed future of SAA. Well, there is no funding. It's just not going to happen. So I don't know what you guys are doing. You're wasting your time. Go out and find meaningful work. Go out and change your plan, because it's not going to happen. A man who rescued a girl from being raped is being heralded as a hero. An Alexandra construction worker became a hero when he stopped a teenage boy from raping a 9-year-old girl.
She's like, what?
So, yeah, if you're a teenage boy and you're raping a 9-year-old girl, that's where you end up growing up hacking a horse to pieces. Or
jeez, lock him down, man.
The girl and her friends had been playing at Yekske Park when the 16-year-old perpetrator abducted her. This guy who's working in construction, his name is Thabo Maitelecha. He caught the boy who tried to assault the girl. I was raised to always view an adult as my mother or father, people my age as my sister or brother, and my children and any children as my own. So when I was running after this person, that was running through my mind. How can this person rape or attempt to rape? A small child added to that. I took as though he is attacking my own child because my child is young enough to call me her father.
She's like, what a guy.
Yeah. This is also, you know, we had that that dude who prevented the kidnapping on Wednesday.
Yeah, the restaurant owner.
Yeah, so this is another dude that I would love to talk to. What an interesting guy, and well done to him for not an interesting guy just because he's done something heroic, but the way he thinks, you know, he says,
yes.
Anyone who's older than me, I think of as my mom and dad. Anyone who's my age, I think of as my brother and sister. Anyone who's as old as my children are, I think of as my own. I mean, that's a philosophy worth absorbing into whatever you believe.
It's a good reminder, man, that we have good, solid people with big hearts out there. You know, it's not what we're used to hearing, but thinking of this story, I watched this, for me, it was just a chilling interview. You know, we often hear about pedophiles and we often hear about a pedophile who has acted upon their urges. On Dr. Phil a couple of days ago, these parents were seeking advice after their 15-year-old son came to them and said, I have sexual attraction and feelings towards my younger siblings.
These poor parents. These parents are like very put together and rational and calm. But to think that this woman has had to, for the first time, string the sentence together, my son is a pedophile.
Because what do you say? How do you deal with it?
Well, there's so much talk about this also with respect to that movie Cuties, which is on Netflix. And we haven't even touched on the subject on this show at all. We haven't addressed it in any way. I know that it's been an issue on social media. Lots of people debating it, people taking up positions. I haven't seen the movie. I'm not in any hurry to see a movie which does sexualize children, but I believe it's very interesting. I believe it's not about sexualizing children, but it's about how society has begun to do that and how wrong it is. So I haven't watched it, so I'm not going to comment, but certainly there's a lot of talk around this at the moment.
Yeah, but you know, you hear about how there are now these studies that show, and Leanne, I think you brought this up a couple of months ago, how pedophiles are missing some connection in the brain where they can reconcile that this urge and the act should not be morally done or something. I might be putting words into
Absolutely
that.
Absolutely right.
So, you know, there's a certain level, I wonder, should we treat then a boy like this who hasn't acted upon it with some sympathy and, you know, medical help? Or should we go, oh, he's a freak, uh-uh.
No, you know what, unfortunately, these people will never recover. It's been proven time and time again. You look at the documentary about Pervert Park, where you've got these aging pedophiles, some of whom have never acted on their urges. However, they themselves have chosen to remove themselves from society. That's how strong the urges are. Unfortunately, there's no way around this. There's no way of rehabilitating. Yes, we can have sympathy, but unfortunately, they have to be put away for life.
All right. Well, we've got to get back to the headlines. And one of the stories is about a guy who was arrested, 40-year-old, who was arrested in Loesburg in KZN for being in possession of dacha. Apparently, they found marijuana worth 2.5 million rand in the minibus taxi. Yes.
I can get it much cheaper.
Yes, that's expensive. I mean, that's a lot. So they pulled over a minibus taxi, and police spokesperson Captain Mobile Gwala said that while searching the taxi, police discovered 58 bags of dacha inside and hidden in between the seats.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, that's a lot.
If that thing sets alight, we all would have been high.
Everyone in the country. And then finally, Hubble Telescope story. They've captured a stunning photo of a spiral galaxy that's been called the Eye of the Serpent. It's absolutely beautiful. I posted something on Instagram yesterday. I've got a telescope. It's nothing expensive or valuable. It just allows me to look at the moon with a little more detail and occasionally see one or two of the planets. But it's so amazing what's out there. You know, as above, so below. I've got a microscope as well, which allows me to look at little things like plant cells. And it's just incredible how much is going on around us, even when things are still. When nothing is happening, if you're under the stars, there is just an incredible amount of energy and action going on quietly around you and in you and around you in plants and in animals.
Have you seen those devices that are all the rage now, which you connect to your plants and it translates the movement and you know, activity in the plant cells into sound?
No. That sounds amazing. Sounds so like a little cool. bit of bullshit, but it sounds amazing.
It sounds like bullshit, and obviously I've never tried it myself, but it emits these sounds that your plant's making. It's like,
Well, I'm telling you,
I planted
a bunch of flowers in the end of August, middle to end of August. I planted just a bunch of flowers because I couldn't stand the brown and yellow and gray of winter anymore. And it's made my mood a million times better. The colors, just these beautiful thriving plants and. I take time to water them and look after them. It makes me so happy. It's so damn rewarding.
Yeah. I walked past a nursery yesterday on my walk, and it's called No Name Nursery, which I like. And yeah,
no, they were just very lazy opening that up.
Yeah, like, oh, let's start
it
a nursery.
It inspired me to gather some money and go and buy some pretty plants to put around. Yeah.
Yeah. Lovely. So just look around, because this Hubble Space Telescope picture is just magnificent. The Eye of the Serpent is located near the Hydra constellation, the largest constellation in our view of the night sky. Although it's too dim to be seen with the naked eye, it can be spotted using any telescope with an aperture 15 centimeters or wider. The galaxy is a little more than half as wide as our own Milky Way, which is also a spiral galaxy. At its heart is a supermassive black hole with a mass millions of times greater than the sun. Cool.
Okay, I'll take your word for it.
Cool. Very nice. So those are your headlines for this morning. Okay. Let's just talk
not
about how...
Not too heavy, not too crazy.
Yeah,
right?
So what's happening is that on the 1st of October, people can fly in and out of South Africa, right? We haven't really
supposedly
talked about this.
Depending. With some justification, and it should be business first.
Okay, what are the rules? So business first, so you have to say you've got work to do.
Yeah.
Or if you can properly justify where you're going. I don't think they're 100% open to leisure travel just yet.
Okay. And there are certain countries that are at the top of the list and other countries that they're only going to allow in later?
Well,
in terms of people coming in, yeah.
It also depends on where you're going to. Like one of the articles that I read yesterday said that Switzerland has now given us South Africans the green light to come into the country. So it's all good and well that our borders are open and we can leave. But what if that country doesn't accept us? So you
God,
also have to look at that.
Switzerland.
Yeah, but let me tell you something. I'm nervous about this. This is why I'm not in any hurry to start traveling. Because if I start traveling now and I find out that that country needs me to have had a COVID test and it's got to be less than 72 hours ago. I mean, it gets very complicated.
It does. However, the good news is that if you do manage to persuade authorities that you need to go overseas, especially if you're like just, you know, a travel bug, flights out of South Africa are going pretty cheap.
And international flights
are even going out of Cape Town, directly out of Cape Town, whereas most times you have to travel to Joburg first. So KLM and Air France, for instance, are now taking bookings for flights directly from Cape Town to Amsterdam and Paris. So if you fancy spending December in London, for instance, you can get a return flight with BA for under 10,000 Rand.
Whoa.
That's unbelievable. Yeah. Well, yeah. First, you still, who's got 10,000 Rand even?
I know. Whoa. And because we haven't been traveling and spending money on that sort of thing, it feels like such a luxury now. But yes, so commercial services are being resumed by KLM and Air France on the 1st of October. That means daily flights between Johannesburg and Amsterdam, direct flights between Cape Town and Amsterdam 4 days a week, as well as regular flights between Paris and both Johannesburg and Cape Town. And KLM, for instance, quoted 16,139 Rand for a one-way flight from Cape Town to Amsterdam. And for October, that price drops to 9,189.
Wow. Sure. Okay.
Well, other destinations are even cheaper than that.
Maybe it's time to go and visit High Rob in Amsterdam.
Well, it seems like Amsterdam might be heading into some partial lockdown again from this weekend onwards.
A lot of
so also.
Oh, by the way, it's hang on, because I know Israel's just gone into a harsher lockdown, and that's largely because the holidays are coming up. So it's Rosh Hashanah. I think it's Rosh Hashanah from today. I'm not 100% sure, but Shana Tova, if it is. Looks like it could be. Yeah. That's it's a new year, as far as I can remember. Jewish New Year.
Well, speaking of which, you can fly to Tel Aviv for 6,000 rand.
Yeah, but are they going to let you in?
Well, I mean, if these... Obviously, if the flights are running...
Leanne, don't give us false advertising here, because... Tell you what, that sounds like a good... I told you, I've been reading all these books about the Holy Land, and we've been doing these episodes for Blind History. I would take that offer. It sounds good, but if I get to the airport and they say to me, I'm sorry, you must go home.
I'll throw that whole long flight.
Yeah. I mean, Dubai is known as quite an expensive flight, and that's going for 16,000 rand. But obviously, if these flights are open and listed and tickets are selling, it's not... such a big issue to get in.
I think we need to just let the dust settle a little.
That's what I'm with. I mean, I spoke about it a few weeks ago, having family up from Cape Town to Joburg and showing them usually what's a bustling suburb. It was just dead and not that interesting. So, you know, do you want to spend hard, save money on going to a town that's not what it usually is?
Yeah, some people who don't want to be around people think that's great.
Okay, I got excited about that, but now I'm not excited anymore.
Okay.
You kind of...
Well, at least we can...
So hard to excite
spoilt
you.
It for me.
We can plan proper December plans now. Even if it's just in the country.
I'm staying here. I'll wait until next year. There's nothing that I need to do in a huge hurry overseas, but I'm happy for people who've got business to do and they can start doing those trips again. That's excellent news. Let's see what we can do to get the economy back to 100%, because we need to do that. I'm not traveling anytime soon. I'd rather, frankly, I don't see the point of spending money right now, and I also don't see the point of going with all of these rules. Airports are going to be so unpleasant with masks and hand sanitizer, and oh my God, it's just going to be awful. So, no.
I'm very happy to have foreigners back in South Africa.
Yes, bring it on. All of you foreigners, come and visit us and spend your money.
Yeah, there was this old lady who, well, she wasn't old. She was, I'll say, in her early to mid-60s. So
yeah, you think that's old, Sia.
Yeah, fuck you, Sia.
I stopped myself, okay? Don't lay it to me, because I corrected myself. Thank you very much.
Yeah.
But I was at the shops, and I caught the end of the conversation with someone else, and she says, and once again, early to mid-60s, so she's not a spring chicken. She's been around the block. So she says, just look in my hands. This bloody sanitizer has given me all of these lines. I'm like, honey, no. Sanitizer can only do so much, okay? Just know where you are and own your age.
That could be like me saying lockdown made me fat, but I was fat to start with.
yes, absolutely. We all have work to do.
But shit. Didn't it? I don't know about you. Didn't
hang on. I've got to tell you something embarrassing before we get to 7 o'clock.
Okay.
I didn't do a lot of things. I made myself supper last night, but it was such a clusterfuck. It was such a
mess. Tell me you didn't chop your finger off.
No. No personal injuries. No property was destroyed. None of that stuff. But I wanted to cook a steak and. It really didn't work. I defrosted it badly and I defrosted it properly, but I was so worried that it wasn't done properly, that I cooked it incorrect. It was just a mess. You know, I always say like cooking is not important and it isn't interesting. And I mean that, like who cares? In my book, you could be a celebrity chef or you could be someone who's thrown together a meal just to shut people up because they're hungry. It means nothing to me. I'm not a big foodie.
Don't feel bad. I've cooked steaks that I've had to throw into the bin.
Yeah, well, this is what I did with at least a half. Because I tasted it. I thought, look, I'm not going to die from my own cooking here. So I tasted it and I thought, oh, this is not so bad. But it wasn't great either. You know when you can taste something, it's not right. It wasn't raw and it wasn't overcooked. It was okay. But
the biggest mistake that I make with steak is I end up broiling the steak.
What's
because
that?
Because I've put the temperature of the pan too low.
Mm.
So it ends up boiling in its own juices.
Maybe that's what I. Maybe that's what
Sorry,
I did.
Sorry, Sia, this must be horrible.
Maybe that. Maybe that's what I did. I can't
that,
even.
That's my biggest mistake. Look, the pan has to be piping hot throughout.
Yeah, it's hard for me to even describe how stupid I was with this cooking experiment yesterday. So I'm not going to go into the detail. I know lots of people go, "Well, how did you fuck it up?" But I can't even tell you. It was such a, and there was so much smoke in the kitchen and grease, and it was just. It was a mess. If you'd seen it, you would have been embarrassed to even know me.
You know what? Frying steaks the best way.
Ugh. I almost gave up and made a fire, and then I thought, oh, please, this will take another hour, and I don't want to do that. So I eventually gave up, and I didn't go to sleep hungry. I mean, it wasn't like a sad story. It was just pathetic. It was just the whole thing was just pathetic. And I was here. I was at home on my own, and I thought I'll make a nice steak. And it ended up just being a mess. I should have just missed a delivery. The thing, really.
Yeah, see, that's you're not alone. It's not easy.
That's the word for me. It's pathetic. And
it's pathetic,
yeah. I feel like that as well. I know I might brush it off and say, oh, you know, well, I don't care if I'm great at cooking or not. But actually, I think I do care. There's a part of me. Like last night, for example, I'm still taking antibiotics and medication. Yeah. So I need to, you know, I need to eat at least four times a day now.
That's from cutting your finger.
Yeah. So I was up at like 10 p.m. and I had to make cereal at 10 p.m. And there was just this moment as I was, you know, reaching for the milk and putting it in a bowl of cereal at 10 p.m. thinking, is this as great as it will be for you? Because that is just pathetic.
I like how you call it making cereal.
Well, listen to this. Here is some feedback from people who are criticizing the last couple of minutes of the show. The garden stage of getting old has been reached, Gareth, because I was talking about flowers. So thanks for that.
Yeah,
there's the garden stage of old age. That's from Helmand.
Yeah, up yours.
Morning, bitches. I hope you all have a kick-ass Friday and weekend. That's nice. That comes from Cassandra. Someone saying, come to Switzerland. It's safe. Sven says it's great in Switzerland. Okay. Here's some actual advice.
Okay.
From Liesl. She says, get an air fryer. Because it's the best kitchen appliance you will ever own. We use ours every day. And apparently it's much healthier if you do stuff with an air fryer. So, yeah, okay, Liesl, you've won. Happy Friday, guys. I watched a really good docuseries on Netflix called Challenger, The Last Flight. I watch a lot of documentaries, but this one has left me truly affected. What is it about these tragedies that draws one? Is it the actual events, the loss of life, the stories that emerge? I don't know. Have a great weekend and stay safe. The Challenger, obviously, that's from Janet, is the craft that exploded in the upper atmosphere as it was heading up into space, and that was in the 80s. It was a very, very big knock, a setback.
Rachmanis.
Well, yeah, it was a setback to the American space program and a tragedy. People lost their lives.
I think it's somewhat being a voyeur into it and thinking, like, it could have been me. It could have so easily been me. Because I know I...
No, it couldn't. Because you and I... And no, you,
yeah.
We're not astronauts, so no, it couldn't have been us. Sorry.
Ain't nobody sending you two to space.
No.
I went through an air crash investigation phase.
Uh-oh.
Once. I was just fixated with that show, going, from sheer catastrophe, I'd be drawn into wanting to know what happened. And then they'd talk to the engineers and then the survivors and... No, I think it's just this ability of it could happen to me slightly.
I always hate those shows because, and I never watch them, but I watched one about, I think it was Challenger. And it turns out that the whole thing exploded because of one, like, washer on a seal or something like that. And I thought, you're telling me that all of this shit and this whole documentary and those people who lost their lives because someone didn't put a rubber washer on a seal or something?
They're taking seals to space now?
Leanne.
All right. And then, okay, we got a couple of messages. So Mpihleng, and then we've got to take a break for 7 o'clock. But here's Mpihleng.
If all things fail in the kitchen, Babaji, just call Tito Mboweni and buy as many, 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 many bags of garlic as you possibly can. and just pour water to the whole thing and eat, Baba. Take tips from Chef Tito.
That's useful information. Bihleng saying that if I need help in the kitchen, I should just get Tito Mboweni.
Mm-hmm.
He won't even come on the TV show. I speak to him occasionally, and he's, oh, yes, no, we'll definitely come on. I think his people are holding him back. I think his people are stopping him from coming onto the show with me, so I don't know what that's all about. But, Minister, it's time you kick some ass in your department. Gareth,
I have to say anything here?
No, Sia, just wait and see what happens. Sean says, Gareth, I'm not sure about that poo lady that you had on last week, telling us that our shit shouldn't stink and that it should be the size of your arm. Jesus Christ.
I haven't had one poo without thinking about her.
Yeah, right, exactly. I can never get enough of you guys, really. Thanks for an amazing show. Also, can we get an update from Gugu? It's been a while. Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, that's from Pelo. Okay, Pelo. Thank you for that. Lots of other messages you can get us on 0797482090. That's the number. Send us a voice note like Bihleng did, or you can send us a short message. It's WhatsApp, so you know how to use it. Hopefully you've
heard. Or as so many people say, WhatsApp.
WhatsApp, yeah.
Don't make fun of the president just because he's like several times saying download our app.
Up,
even better. All right, cliffcentral.com. Good morning. It is just after 7. Yay. Let's get your day started, shall we?
Cliffcentral.com.